بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاه والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، اما بعد. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing us together not only on this blessed day of Jumu'ah but on these very blessed days of Dhul-Hijjah, the days about which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on no days is the worship of Allah more dear and more beloved to Allah than in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And the fast of each of these days is equal to the fast of a whole year. And the worship of each of these nights is equal to the worship of Laylatul Qadr. And this hadith has been transmitted by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. So it's a wonderful opportunity for all of us to draw nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become close to Him, as perhaps many of our brothers and sisters, members of our family who might be at this very moment in Makkatul Mukarramah, performing, preparing for their Hajj, and going through those very special moments in their life. And it's this wonderful blessing of Allah and His kindness for all mankind, especially for the Muslim Ummah, that those of us who are still here at home do not lose out. And those of our brothers and sisters who are in Makkatul Mukarramah are not the only ones who can benefit and be blessed. So you and I sitting here at home can also acquire these tremendous rewards and virtues from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being obedient to Him, by worshipping Him, perhaps a little more, if not a lot more, than we usually might do during our ordinary and normal days. It is during this time of the year when we hear the ulama and the a'imma talk to us about Hajj, the virtues of Hajj, the position of Hajj in the life of a Muslim, and its importance, and what the Hajj can do for an individual and indeed for the Ummah. And it is during this period of the year when the ulama remind us of the special relationship that Hajj has with the Blessed Messenger Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. It is during this time when we are reminded of the beautiful and the wonderful story of the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The story of sacrifice, the story of obedience to Allah, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named this festival that we will celebrate inshallah in a few days, Eid al-Adha, the festival of sacrifice. Sacrifice plays a very, very important role in the life of a Muslim. It has a special position in Islam. And when I reflect back at the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, not only Ibrahim but his son Ismail alayhi salam, and the whole family, we go back to Hajar alayhi salam, her sacrifice, and you reflect back at this exceptionally obedient family that was prepared to do exactly as Allah said that they should do. If we go back to the early years of Ibrahim alayhi salam's life, where he has found himself in the desert of Makkah, no sign of life, and he has to leave behind Hajar and baby Ismail in the care of Allah. And Allah says, you leave them here and off you go. He did not hesitate in carrying out this commandment of Allah. And when he was asked by his beloved wife, that Ibrahim, you are leaving me behind here all alone. Is this something that Allah has told you to do? And he said, yes, this is exactly what Allah has commanded me to do. Now see her level of sacrifice, her readiness to sacrifice, and the level of obedience. She said, if this is Allah's will, then He will not allow me and my baby to perish. He will look after us. That is a family that I want us today to concentrate on, to try and relate to try and make that connection. Can we be like them? Are we like them? Is there scope for us to be like them? How is it that they were able to have full trust in Allah? With no reluctance, they placed their trust in Allah and they came out successful. So successful that today no Haji can go to Makkah without doing what Hajar alayhi salam did, running between Safa and Marwa, the Sa'i. It has become part and parcel of the Hajj. One cannot complete the Hajj without that. It is that acceptance of that sacrifice of Hajar, or Hajra alayhi salam, that Allah has embedded her actions into the Hajj. When she ran from one hill to another looking for water for baby Ismail alayhi salam, you and I have to do that to commemorate, to honor her sacrifice. This is the level of acceptance that Allah gives to sacrifice. And you and I have to every day give some form of sacrifice. If we all reflect back on our own day-to-day life, you will find there are so many moments in your day when you have to sacrifice for Allah. There is an opportunity to sin, but you stop, you sacrifice your desires in the obedience of Allah. And so many other examples, I'm sure you're all able to gauge for yourselves. But the true test that came for Ibrahim alayhi salam was when he was very advanced in age. The books of history tell us that at the age of 100, he saw in his dream that Allah is commanding him to sacrifice Ismail alayhi salam. Historians tell us that it was at the age of 86 when this very old man, whom Allah chose to bless with a son, was blessed with a son from his very old wife. And when this son was 14 years old, a nice strong young person who will now perhaps look after elderly father and elderly mother, Allah says, you have to kill him, you have to sacrifice him, you have to give him to me. Ibrahim alayhi salam woke up very worried, deeply concerned. On the one side, his love for his beloved son, who he had after so many, many, many years, whom he was dependent on, for whom he had so many hopes and dreams and wishes. And on the other side, the Almighty Creator, the one who gave him the Son. That is what you and I have to remember. It is Allah who gives things to us. And when He wants it back, why are we reluctant to sacrifice it? That is the point to ponder over. If you and I truly believe everything is from Allah, why is it when He asks us for a sacrifice, we are reluctant to do it? And that is exactly what Ibrahim alayhi salam teaches you and me. To sacrifice your most beloved, the ultimate sacrifice. That is when we can prove to Allah how true we are to Him. He summoned His Son. And He said to His Son, I have seen this dream. For those of us who are parents, another lesson to learn from this. Time does not allow me to digress into the different areas of this wonderful story and inspiring story. But see how father is dealing with son. He is not a dictator in the household. Many of us fathers have to take stock of ourselves. How do we deal with our children? How do we handle our offspring? Like a cruel dictator? Or like the true loving father as Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was. He spoke with his son calmly, in a reassuring manner. My son, this is my dream. This is what I have seen. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you think? How do you feel about this, oh my beloved son Ismail? And this was, after all, the son of Ibrahim. The tarbiyah, the upbringing that he had from these two wonderful parents would be very difficult to match. That trust of Allah, the love for Allah, the willingness to do as Allah says was embedded in young Ismail's heart. You couldn't expect anything less with parents such as these. Immediately he said, my father, do as you are commanded. اِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Do as you are commanded. And in carrying out your commandment, I shall be most cooperative. I will not make it in the least difficult for you. No obstacle. I will not resist anything that you have to do. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. I shall be patient. I shall surrender myself to you. Those of us who are parents, another lesson for us. If we are successful in giving the right tarbiyah to our children, we can benefit and enjoy the fruits like Ibrahim alayhi salam enjoyed. To have a young son who is prepared to die without any question, just doesn't happen like that. A lot of hard work went into the upbringing of this young boy Ismail. Mother and father must have spent quality time to embed in this young mind, in this young heart, all these qualities. So that when the time came for the ultimate sacrifice, that young son was prepared to give it. It just doesn't happen like that. We have to invest in our children. Time, effort and energy. It is not only about providing them shelter and food and good clothing. That is a necessity of life. But what about the spirit? Ismail surrendered to his father and to Allah. And we know the story. We know that this was a test from Allah. And Allah spoke to Ibrahim alayhi salam that you have fulfilled your dream, you have been true in your loyalty to me, I do not want to see Ismail dead. I wanted to test your loyalty, and you have passed with flying colors. And it is in commemoration and in celebration and in honor of that sacrifice that Ibrahim and Ismail were prepared to make, that you and I today, even today and until the day of Qiyamah, Muslims will be performing and offering the udhiya, the qurbani, the sacrifice. You and I have so much to learn from this. There is so much to understand from this. We are failing today to sacrifice little things. Our whims and desires, we are unable to sacrifice them. We are prepared to make and to displease Allah at every turn that we take. Yet we are proud to say that we are the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. If we claim that, and if we take pride in that, should we not then accommodate those qualities that this family had within our own selves? To say yes. Yes, we are proud to belong to that family. We want to belong to that tradition. And we want to inculcate those qualities in our offspring and in our children. Today we pay so much attention to other things, perhaps to materialistic things, and we want to see our children have the best and enjoy the best. Alhamdulillah, that is good. Allah bless us. Allah bless you all. But not at the expense of their spirituality, at the expense of their iman, at the expense of their Muslim identity. To be able to get our children to obey today has become an almost impossible task for many of us. There are families that are struggling to get the young people to go for salah. Where have we gone wrong? We have to take stock of this. Those of us who are young, who are not yet parents but are children of parents, you also need to take stock of your life. You need to examine yourselves. Can you do what Ismail did? Ask yourself and be honest with yourself. If you can say yes, you are indeed a very special person. But I doubt it. Illa mashallah. I doubt it very much that we will be able to do what Ismail did for his father. That is a challenge to me and to all of you. Because we, as offspring, as children of parents, have failed to realize the status of our parents. The degree of command that they have, we have failed to realize that, we have failed to acknowledge that. And secular society and modern society does not help in the least. It promotes independence of thought and mind and choice. Whereas Islam has a totally different philosophy. A philosophy of total obedience to parents. Where the Quran says you are not even to utter a word of disgust or a word of disappointment to your parents. The Arabic word is uff. Not even uff are you allowed to say to your parents. Yet when we take stock of our lives, let's not go too far back, maybe just a week or a month back, and see how many times we have failed in the obedience of our parents. Something is seriously wrong with us. And if each time Eid al-Adha comes, the festivals of Hajj come, the season of Hajj comes, and we listen to all this, and it passes us by, and it comes again the following year, and it passes us by. The years are going by, but we are not reforming ourselves. We are not changing and mending our ways. That is not the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares all this in the Quran with us. The Quran is for ibrah, for learning, for lesson. It is an eye-opener. When we read these wonderful stories, they are there to inspire us, to open up our eyes, to enable us to see the light of day and mend our ways. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that through these blessed days that we are going through, He helps us and gives us the courage and the strength to mend our ways, to be obedient to our parents, to be kind and caring towards our children, to find time for one another, quality time, where we can learn about this wonderful deen of Allah and inculcate in ourselves this spirit of sacrifice, of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-kareem wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah rabbil alameen.
Brothers, inshallah, if you would like to stand up and inshallah fill in all the spaces, because you can see some brothers with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are standing over there. So if you'd like please to stand up, fill in all the gaps and spaces, and just take one step forward. So inshallah we can have a couple of more rows, inshallah. Right on the left there are some spaces as well, please. So inshallah, make the rows good. Great, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah, الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فأيها الأحبة إن الله سبحانه وتعالى ذكر لنا قصة سيدنا إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام في كتابه الكريم وفي هذه القصة هناك دروسا لنا خصوصا للآباء وللأبناء الذين في هذا الزمان يجدون مشاكل في العلاقة بينهما. هناك أبناء لا يريدون أن يفعلوا كما يأمرهم آباؤهم، وهناك آباء لا يربون أولادهم كما أخبرنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وكما أمرنا الله سبحانه وتعالى. فهذه المشاكل للأسف الشديد نتيجتها أن بيوت المسلمين غير مأمونة من الاختلاف ومشاكل أخرى. إذا نقرأ الآيات القرآنية التي تحكي قصة سيدنا إبراهيم نجد أن سيدنا إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام كان مستعدا دائما لطاعة الله، وهكذا ربى ابنه إسماعيل فهو أيضا كان دائما مطيعا للأبي ولله عز وجل. فيقول الله عز وجل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ربي هب لي من الصالحين. هذه كانت دعاء سيدنا إبراهيم، فبشرناه بغلام حليم فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. فلما أسلما، يعني الأب والابن كلاهما، فلما أسلما وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين إن هذا لهو البلاء المبين. وفديناه بذبح عظيم وتركنا عليه في الآخرين سلام على إبراهيم كذلك نجزي المحسنين إنه من عبادنا المؤمنين. وبشرناه بإسحاق نبيا من الصالحين. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد. أيها الأحبة، قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد سأله الصحابة رضي الله عنهم ما هذه الأضاحي؟ قال سنة أبيكم إبراهيم. قالوا وما لنا منها؟ قال بكل شعرة حسنة. قالوا فالصوف؟ قال بكل شعرة من الصوف حسنة. رواه ابن ماجه والترمذي. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبه. الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن